Good evening, everyone, and to those who are watching or on live streaming, we are thankful that you are back with us tonight to listen to the message of God's Word from the book of Philippians. But before we read the book of Philippians chapter 4, we're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a friend like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been a good, good Father to us, Lord, and we are grateful and thankful for the gift of eternal life, the calling, Lord, that you have bestowed on each one of us, Lord, to serve in the body of Christ here at Musnu Baptist in different roles. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness throughout the years, and we continue to pray that you would send the man of God, the pastor, the under-shepherd, Lord, that we lead this flock, Lord. We ask for your blessings, Lord, throughout this night. May you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. This I pray in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Okay. Apostle Paul has a lot of instructions that we can find from the book of Philippians, but we will just limit our study on the first seven verses of this chapter in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Okay, let me read the first seven verses of this text. I call this the smorgasbord of Paul's instruction to the Philippian church, but we will just limit it to the first seven verses. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eogias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also." This is probably the Clement that has become the bishop or become pastor as well. "And with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." First thing that we can find here is the instruction by Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, which is also applicable to us, being the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, here in Musnu, Saskatchewan. Is the first one is the instruction, stand fast or stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. The phrase "in the Lord," this defines the sphere or element in which or in whom they and we as Christians are to stand firm. He is our rock on whom we stand, yea, even in whom we hide in the cleft of the rock. To stand or to stand fast in the Lord is neither to wander out of him nor even to waver in connection with him, but to remain immovable in fellowship with him. So we are instructed to stand firm in the Lord. If there's anything that we should stand firm, especially during these times of uncertainties, you know, we found out that just the other day or last night that there's another variant of COVID virus that will break the what do you call this, the vaccines that we have right now. So until when will this stop? You know, if there's anything that we should be standing firm, it's in the Lord. So if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a Christian, we should always stand firm in the Lord, not in the government, not in the different institutions, not in all this human government, human institutions, but we should always stand firm in the Lord as a local body of believers here in Musnu. Number two, we are instructed here to be united, to be united in the Lord. It says here, "Therefore, my brethren, beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, I beseech Eogias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." So we have been instructed as well to be united in the Lord. You know, these two ladies at church here in the Philippian church, they have probably some differences, you know. That's why they are being instructed to be of the same mind in the Lord. By the way, unity, first one, unity does not mean uniformity. Amen? It does not mean uniformity. Like we have three deacons at the church, their personalities are different, their likes and dislikes, they are probably different. When it comes to sports, they might be watching different sports game, you know, somebody might be watching football, the other one must probably be watching soccer or, you know, basketball. These are realities that happen and take place in a local church. Even in a local church setting like this, we may have probably different, you know, different personalities, you know. We may not like our personalities because sometimes personalities clash, you know, but you know what? In the Lord, we can be united. Amen? We can be united in the Lord. So unity does not mean uniformity. You know, we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. You know, there are some non-essential doctrines or practices. Many Baptist churches, they have different faith and practices. But you know what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we talk about this morning, that is essential. And that we should agree in the Lord. And that we should agree in that fundamental teaching of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without resurrection, then there will be no salvation. Remember Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is no salvation without the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be united in all these doctrine, essential doctrines. Letter B, unity requires more than one person. Here are Eogias and Syntyche and other, Apostle Paul said, and I entreat also true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So it's possible that when a problem arises in a local church, many people will be affected. You know, the unity and the harmony of the local church will be affected as well. So we are being instructed, not only Eogias and Syntyche during this time, but all of us should be of the same mind in the Lord. Because unity requires more than one person. There will be no Trinity if there's only one person. That's why Trinity means three in unity in the presence of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen? There's no unity if there's only one person. You have to have at least two people being united together with the Lord. And of course, the Trinity, we have the teaching of the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When we were in the Philippines, we've encountered a lot of those who believe in oneness. You know, they believe in the different modes of the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One kind of oneness believes that that's the Father. He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Spirit. Another one, like the UPC, United Pentecostal Church, believes that Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's oneness, modalistic view of God. We do not believe that. We believe that God has revealed Himself as one person, as one God in essence, but revealed Himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, unity is only possible in the Lord. Amen? Unity is only possible in the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that really brings us together and united. It's really, you know, it's really neat when we see a local church being united in the Lord, with one mind, with the same mind in the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, we can find the next verse 3 here. And verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. I think I've mentioned this during our Zoom meeting when we were still in Florida, that the word rejoice is actually continuously being joyful. Rejoice. Rejoice. Being joyful. And then Apostle Paul actually has removed the expiration date. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Non-stop, all way. And again, I say, rejoice. And then the emphasis again, rejoice. How can we rejoice in the Lord always as a believer, as a Christian? You know, the following verses gives us at least an idea how we can be joyful still in the Lord, even though we go through some problems, some trials, some temptations, some difficulties. We should always be joyful or rejoicing in the Lord. One we can find here is in verse 5. It says here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." We can find here probably one of the characteristics or one of the traits of Christians, especially Baptist Christians, is that we are people of moderation. We are not extreme. You know, some religions, they are very, very extreme. And I mentioned last time when we were here that there was a lady in Iran that was, you know, clobbered, and then probably her head was, you know, hit or banged on the wall or whatever. And then she ended up in the hospital, and then a few days later she died. And that's why what there's a problem right now in Iran. You know, there's a uproar, there's a chaos right now going on. And there's a blackout of all social media. We do not really know what's going on right now, but some believe that the people's revolution in Iran has already started. And we do not know what's going on. It's blackout. All social media has been blacked out. So Christians, Baptist Christians specifically, we are men and women of moderation. We do not believe in extremes, you know, hyper, something like that. We believe in the balanced view of everything. The balance, especially the balanced view of the Word of God. We believe in the sovereignty of God, but we also believe in the human responsibility, that man is responsible. Amen? We have a balanced view of things, of doctrines, and also in practices. We can find here also in verse 6, and this is what I would like to dwell more in verse 6 during the duration of our study. In verses, the Bible says, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Actually, this verse is actually probably where we got the statement, "Why worry when you can pray?" Have you heard that expression? Why worry when you can pray? This is the instruction by Apostle Paul. Be careful for nothing. The word careful here does not mean being cautious. Careful here means full of care, full of burdens, full of troubles. We should not have full of care. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. We should follow the instruction of Apostle Paul, written in his first letter in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, when he said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Amen. We have the Lord. We have God who cares for us. We have seen that during this morning, during the service. You know, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared to many of his disciples. He tried to gather them once more because they were scattered when he died. And many of them actually did not know that the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. But a few days later, they were able to know and receive the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. George Mueller once said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith." The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Amen? Let us not to be worrisome. You know, we are anxious all the time. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed us in the book of Matthew that we should not get worried about food and water, you know, even our body, you know, and then even things that we take on, you know, we wear, the clothing that we wear. So we should not be worried about all these things. But he has a good instruction there. And may I read that in Matthew chapter 6. Very good instruction here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, the Bible says, Matthew 6, 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, when you have become self-sufficient, that's a good instruction. Sufficient unto the day thereof is the evil. When you have become self-sufficient, you don't need anything. You know, one thing that we found out while we ministered in Regina, it's really hard to minister to the people of Regina, those people that we have interacted with, especially if they are being enriched, if they have a good job, you know, good paying job, they are all healthy, they're all good, they're, every, everything. They have everything. They're very self-sufficient. You know, it's really hard to bring the gospel to them because they don't see any need at all. Of course, if you are not a believer, you don't see the truth of the gospel that they need Christ as their Lord and Savior. If they don't trust and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they perish, they'll go to hell. They don't see that because they are what? Separated from God. They don't understand about spiritual things. So we try to, you know, bring the word of God to them. We try to just bring them. Just to give you an update, our first meeting during September 18, we were 13. Just the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? 13 total, including the Lord Jesus Christ. The second meeting last Sunday, we were 17. So really praying that the Lord would continue to, you know, to give the increase every time that we meet in our monthly meeting, monthly event, evangelistic event. So we try to do it until such time that we're probably able to get 5 or 6 families. Then we will start our regular Sunday services. Right now, our meeting is only on a weekly prayer meeting and Bible study during Sunday night. And we have had the first two, I think it's in in our newsletter, the first 2 months, July and August, we were able to share the gospel with about 50 people. Not all of them made profession of faith, but at least 30 of them made profession of faith. And during our two meetings, there were a family who joined the church, some individuals who joined the church, even those who have not been baptized yet, they would like to join the church. But of course, I have to baptize them. Biblically, I have to immerse them in water, you know, and submit to the waters of baptism. So please pray for us that the Lord will continue to, you know, that we'll get more traction with the community in Regina. And since winter is coming, we will not have the luxury of going to the park, you know, going to all these public places. So we will just probably be ending up just going to a covered building because people will not be outside. They will be all be inside the building. So please pray that we would be able to do that. Robert Mounts comments said, he said, worry is practical atheism and an affront to God. Amen. So this verse 6, be careful for nothing. And in the second phrase of the verse, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I would like to break this down into two. He says here, let your requests be made known. What should be the extent of making our requests being known to God, including our being grateful and thankful for all God's blessing? It says here, in everything we should be thankful, we should be grateful in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give him thanks for his merciful God, according to Psalm 107, verse 1, 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What should be the frequency? What should be the frequency of, you know, letting our request being made known unto God? Always, Ephesians 5:20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What should be the method? You know, I mentioned this morning that Wednesday night was your prayer meeting. I forgot that it's during Sunday night, Sunday evening service, the prayer and Bible study. So please, apologies for that. So it says here, what method we should be making our requests being made known to God? By prayer and by supplication. John R. Rice defined prayer as asking and receiving. And of course, supplication is when you lay down your petitions, you know, when you live before the Lord, your needs before him, knowing that the Lord will provide for all our need. In Colossians 3:17, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. But what should be our attitude when we come to the Lord in prayer? What should be our attitude? It should be an attitude of gratitude. We should be thankful with thanksgiving, the Bible says, with thanksgiving. We just celebrated Thanksgiving holiday last Monday, and we had our Thanksgiving Sunday service last Sunday afternoon, and we didn't have any kind of Canadian Thanksgiving, you know? No turkey, no all this old stuff. We even tried to go to to Costco to buy pumpkin pie, just at least to have a pumpkin pie during our celebration. When we went to Costco, there's a long line to get a pumpkin pie, and you can only get two per family. So we ended up buying apple pie. But I'm thankful the Olivares family, during this lunchtime, we were able to get genuine article Thanksgiving food. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thought we will skip the first Canadian Thanksgiving here without taking all this good stuff. But thank you for the Olivares family. Amen. They have been hosting us for two times already during lunch when we are here. So we should have an attitude of gratitude. Psalm 92, verse 1, the Bible says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." So it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. You know what would be the benefit? What benefit do we get by being thankful and grateful to the Lord? It brings us to a posture of bringing praise unto the name and the Most High God. When we are grouchy, when we are in an attitude of indifference, would you think we would be in a position to give praise to the Lord? No. That's why we should always have an attitude of gratitude, because it prepares us to worship Him, to praise the God who created us, sustained us, preserved us, protected us, saved us, and someday will bring us to heaven to enjoy His presence for all eternity. Hebrews 13:15, the Bible says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And lastly, we can find here, "Let your request be made known unto whom?" You know? There are many things that we should be thankful for, like the life that we have right now, our health, the provision, the protection of God every day, the job, business, or family that we have, the gift of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We seem to forget to be thankful to the person who made all these things possible. You know, the last Thanksgiving, if you would probably interview people, you know, even those who do not have faith, they're still thankful. You know, as an atheist, hey, you don't believe in God, you don't believe, you know, you don't have any faith at all. But during the Thanksgiving Day celebration, did you have some things that you would like to thankful for? They may say, probably, yes, I have a lot of things to thank, you know, to thank for. You may ask them. The question now is, who are you thankful to? Right? Who are you thankful to? If you are thankful for many things in your life, who are you thankful to? For Christians and for believers, of course, it's not really hard for us to ask. We are thankful to the one and only God who provides for all these blessings. Amen? Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We should come boldly unto the throne of grace, the very seat of God's power and provision. In conclusion, I'd like to end on verse 7. You know, when all these things happen, verse 7 just comes naturally, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you're standing firm in the Lord, if you're united in the Lord, if you rejoice in the Lord, and if you're able to make your request be made known unto God, amen, "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." John 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His word. God bless you.